United Church of Christ is quite different from other denominations. Neither good nor bad, we just have a very unique position. Thank you, Kahlo, for letting me come and say hello. Appreciate that.
Yeah.
When we go to Oahu, usually my car partner. I don't know if he ever berates any of you or constantly badgers you. Maybe I'm just special. He does that to me all the time.
Yeah, if you believe that, he's the one harassing me.
Anyway, mahalo, everybody.
And he's going to stay through the whole service.
Yes, sir.
Actually, Warren, he was feeling sorry for you all the time. Okay, there's one thing I would like to share with you. For those of you who are interested in becoming a general member or associate member of the church, you are invited to attend a membership forum that will be held next Sunday, July 21st, beginning at 12 noon in our classrooms and office building. Please indicate your interest by filling out one of the new pew attendance cards that you will find in the pew hole in front of you. Be sure to include your name and mailing address. A packet of information will be sent to you in preparation for the meeting. Place your card in the offering bowl when the morning offering is received. Are there any other announcements?
All through the service from beginning to end, and so that means all sorts of tasks, and we would like to ask you to help us with some of the tasks. There's a sign-up sheet every Sunday out on the table when you come in. One of the jobs is greeting, which is super fun because you get to meet all the wonderful guests we have from all over the world. You get to know more of your congregants even better, so that's a good job, very simple to do. We have people in need for people to help arrange flowers or go to Kahului by plants. That's a time commitment, not a financial one. So that's really nice if you have a little extra time. Also, Aloha Hour. Everyone enjoys eating, and so we always need food. So you could be a menahumi and just go to Costco, pop a box of cookies in your cart, and bring them to the church, and we'll find them. So any help you could do, we really appreciate it. Mahalo.
Church, and they their faith is restored in not only humanity, but in God and their faith in the church. A couple of the letters that we've received, I'll write to you here. This letter was received from an applicant from the Malama Family Recovery Center. I would like to give my full gratitude for you for helping me in my recovery so that I may prosper forward in my life, that I may get my daughter back and stay sober. I plan to contact you in the near future to plan to give back by volunteering my time to help with cleaning the yard or even cleaning the church. Again, mahalo, Keakua, for your financial help with my program fees. Another one from the Malama Family Recovery Center says, I'd like to extend my gratitude to you for assisting me in paying for my program fees here at the center. It helps me to be able to focus on gaining the tools needed for sustainable sobriety. And then there's a gentleman who had children. He had a lot of health issues, had applied to Oahu. He has a child he is 100% responsible for. His test came back negative for cancer, although all of his symptoms are of cancer. And he is wanting to thank us for all of the help. So anyway, we invite you guys to all help us through prayer and very mostly with monetary funds that you may have as well. We work very hard to be good stewards of our fund and would like to ensure that we have adequate funds to help support the needs in our community. And we humbly request any thoughtful donations to support our mission.
And if you do respond in the offering envelope you see in the pew holders in front of you, you can mark it for the outreach committee. Thank you.
Thank you. Are there any other announcements? If not, we welcome those of you who are visiting us for the first time, or if you are returning to us again, if you are able, please stand. We invite you to join us.
Jesus, we make it so sorry and said,
mission statement, first in Hawaiian and then in English, followed by our Lord's Prayer, first sung in Hawaiian and then in English.
Ho kumu ia kai kalasia o ke apalahi e ko ma ko lau kupuna i ku paha ma hope o ke aloha o ke akua mai ke kahi hanana a te kahi hanana aku. O ma kono ngā haumana a Yesu Christo, e hea hea aku wā, me ke aloha, i ngā la hui a kau, i ko ma ko ohana. Lare lare ia ngā la hui a kau, e ko ke apalahi, ma o kapilina uhane, o ke kaiaulu akea. I holo kahi ia, ka omana kulikiano, me ka moho mehereu kawaihi. Te Apalahi Congregational Church, founded by our kupuna, is committed to sharing God's aloha from generation to generation. As Haumana of Jesus Christ, we welcome all, love all, and accept all into our Arohana. Te Apalahi ministers to all through the spiritual gifts we share as a diverse. today on it's you and me, huh? We're doing both.
that's when we are she. So thank you. Amen.
Gifts to you, asking for your direction as we work each day so that your kingdom of light becomes more and more of a reality in this world. We join our voices with the psalmist. Give justice to the weak and the orphan, maintain the right of the lowly and destitute, rescue the weak and the needy, deliver them from the hand of the wicked. So it is that we testify to your faithfulness and we give you thanks. Ke apunane mako I ko hili na I iho, ha'avi aku nei, ka ko I ka mahalo. Amen. You may be seated.
I will be reading from the New Revised Standard Version. If you look in the two Bibles, New Testament, page 67, or you can follow me on page 14 on the scroll of the Colossians 1, 1 through 14. Paul, an apostle of Jesus by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the saints and faithful brothers and sisters in Christ in Colossae, grace to you and peace from God our Father. In our prayers for you, we always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, for we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love that you have for all the saints, because of the hope laid up for you in heaven. You have heard of this hope before in the word of truth of the gospel, too, the gospel that has come to you. Just as it is bearing fruit and growing in the whole world, so it has been bearing fruit among you yourselves from the day you heard it and truly comprehended the grace of God. You have learned from Epaphras, our beloved fellow servant. He is a faithful minister of Christ on your behalf, and he has made to us your love in the Spirit. For this reason, since the day we heard it, we have not ceased praying for you and ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of God's will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that you may lead lives worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him. As you bear fruit in every good work, and as you grow in the knowledge of God, may you be made strong with all the strength that comes from his glorious power, and may you be prepared to endure everything with patience, while joyfully giving thanks to the Father, who has enabled you to share in the inheritance of the saints of the Lord. He has rescued us from the power of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sin.
Wow. So, the listing in the worship bulletin is pretty extensive, and if anything, we continue to lift up those who are mourning the loss of loved ones, and those who are recovering from surgeries and other illnesses. On the card this morning, we did include in our prayers last week Michael Irish's sister, Terry. She died on Friday. So prayers for Michael's brother Patrick and for family and friends. And where are they? They're back in California or Oregon?
Oregon City.
Oregon City. Okay. So for the Irish family. On the cards this morning, Leilani's, Leilani, is it Solheim or him? Santa Rosa, you're back. Where are you? Raise your hand. Oh, welcome back. She just says we come here every year when we visit Maui. So welcome. Also, Sudhir Vedamutu is here. We know him as Andrew. Andrew, where are you? And who's with you?
This is Yvonne.
Yvonne, did you clue her in? Yvonne? Wait, I have to put on my glasses.
I told you.
Yes, Yvonne. After the service, all of our Kupuna elders, the women will be outside lined up and they're going to take a look at you. we're watching you. You have to take care of him. Even when you're gone, we're watching you. Welcome to Maui. Andrew, it's good to have you home. There are multiple requests on the cards this morning, all of them related to firefighters and first responders for the fires we had this past week. And I know all of us got caught in the fires, either stuck in traffic or unable to get home. It started out at 3,000 acres, then it was 9, then it was 10, now it's over 12. And it's pretty much a third of the land that was being cultivated in sugarcane until the mill closed down. I think in some ways those of us who live on the island are aware that it's not a surprise that the fires occurred. The fields were fallow, the temperatures in May and June were high, so there was a combination of factors that led to that. So we're just thankful that the firefighters, those who responded, managed to keep us all safe. So thank you to them. We continue to pray for those affected by natural disasters in other parts of the country and around the world. I don't know what the latest is on Tropical Storm Barbara, but I think she was slowly moving across Louisiana, and it's not over yet because I think they're worried about flooding at this point. And in the news this week, in Nepal and India, there were landslides and floods that killed several dozen people. And while those places may seem far away, we again know what it's like to lose family and neighbors and friends. We pray for those seeking reasonable ways to curb and reduce gun violence across the U.S. We pray for the more than 70.8 million people around the world who have been displaced because of wars, armed conflicts, violence, climate change, poverty, hunger, and religious persecution. We all forgot last Sunday. What was last Sunday? The 7th. Well, on July 7th, Kathy Swift celebrated her birthday. So we have to sing happy birthday to you. Septuagenarian like me, 74. Oh, yes. You can't believe it. Yeah. Well, the only benefit of growing old that is we hope we grow wiser and pay attention to things that matter. So that's a great gift to have. Okay, so. So despite the fires, I'm always want to say, I give thanks to God that we live here on Maui. And if you're visiting, it's good to have you with us. E Pulekako, let us pray. Free us, O God, for you are the God of justice, to speak your word in a world that needs to listen to you. Greed has overtaken the land, and ambition has taken the place of the values you expect from us. Iniquity has taken hold, making the very rich richer and the very poor poorer. Give us your voice that your church can serve as shepherd, guiding your people to your will for the world. Free us, O God, for you are the God of compassion. To tend to those who are weak and in need. You always care, especially for those abandoned or rejected or despised, for the sick, for women, children, and widows. Give us eyes to recognize them in our midst, and use us to be your compassionate presence in their lives. And free us, O God, for you are a God of impartiality. Free us from asking who is our neighbor. Take pity on us that we might show compassion. Anoint us and bandage our wounds, that we might do the same for those in need, that we may be neighbor to those in need. Carry us and give us strength to carry others. So come now and hear all the prayers we lift up to you this day. We have given voice to some of them, and others we hold deep in the very quiet places of our hearts. Heal your aching world, we pray, and use us to do your will. We give thanks, living God, that you are here and that you give us parts to play in the great story of your love. Ke mahalo nei ia o e ke akua ola I ke ia vahi, a I ke ia manawa a avi mai oe. I hapa no mako e ho'o lao lea a I loko o nga oihana o ko aloha. Amen.
Dear, you will please stand as we sing our next hymn, Hold My Teddy, Mali. The hymn was found in 9 Menu of the Coliseum, hymn number 91, from the Holy
Just then a lawyer stood up to test Jesus. "Teacher," he said, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus said to him, "What is written in the law? What do you read there?" The lawyer answered, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself." Then Jesus said to him, "You have given the right answer. Do this, and you will live." But wanting to justify himself, he asked Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" Jesus replied, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he fell into the hands of robbers who stripped him, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. Now by chance, a priest was going down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. So likewise a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, while traveling, came near him, and when he saw him, he was moved with pity. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, having poured oil and wine on them. Then he put him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper, and said, 'Take care of him, and when I come back, I will repay you whatever more you spend.' Which of these 3 do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of the robbers?" The lawyer said, "The one who showed mercy." Jesus said to him, "Go and do likewise." May God bless the reading of the word. Amen. I have books stacked on my bookshelves at home that are gathering dust. I have books stacked on the floor that reach halfway to the ceiling. I have decided that retirement will be a good time to finally catch up on reading the books that I have purchased myself and the books that some of you have given me as gifts over the years. One of the books I recently received seems more timely than the others right now. It will be at the top of my retirement reading list. Hans Hosling was a medical doctor, professor of international health, and a public educator. He was one of Time magazine's 100 most influential people in the world. He died 2 years ago, in 2017, having devoted the last years of his life to writing a book in collaboration with his son and daughter-in-law. The book, entitled Factfulness, has as its byline, 10 reasons we're wrong about the world and why things are better than you think. Of the book itself, Rosling writes in the introduction, "This is about the world and how it really is. It is about what you can do about it, and how this will make you feel more positive, less stressed, and more hopeful as you walk out and back into the world." That sense of hopefulness is what I find in our reading of Paul's letter to the Colossians and the parable of the Good Samaritan in the Gospel according to Luke. While the authorship of the letter to the church in Colossae is disputed by some, its tone and content is more recognizable as something Paul would have written. He addresses his letter to a church that he had neither established nor visited, but one that was started and nurtured by a devoted co-worker. Though the exact details of the controversy surrounding what Paul saw as the false teaching in the church is not clear, the letter presents us with a bold statement of the uniqueness of Christ. So after extending his greeting, Paul offers a prayer in which he sets the tone of the letter. It is both reassuring and hopeful. Paul prays for the Colossians to grow in their capacity for spiritual wisdom and discernment, especially as it pertains to doing the will of God. The biblical text reminds us that coming to a proper knowledge of God and growing in that knowledge are part and parcel of our Christian experience. But knowledge, for knowledge's sake, like factfulness for factfulness' sake, is not enough. Discernment in knowing is about how we lead lives worthy of the Lord. For Paul, this means that they and we must bear fruit in every good work. It is about what we do and not simply about what we say. This brings us to our reading from the Gospel according to Luke. It begins with an encounter between a lawyer and Jesus. The lawyer asks him, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" Perhaps because Jesus is aware that the lawyer is knowledgeable in what he knows, he invites the lawyer to supply the answer to his own question. The conversation between them eventually leads to the parable of the Good Samaritan. The questions are important, and so are the answers. But Luke's Jesus makes it clear that the kingdom of God is not a discussion, even between two leaders. Luke introduces the parable that is focused not on love of God and love of neighbor, but only on love of neighbor. Now, we may be inclined to think that this is an isolated instance, but on at least two other occasions, Paul said in his letters to the church in Rome and the church in Galatia that the law is summed up in the command to love one's neighbor as oneself. What is striking about the parable is the question, who is my neighbor? The lawyer apparently wants a definition, but Jesus shifts the attention to the kind of person you and I are to be, rather than to those who are or who are not our neighbors. So in telling the parable, the question lies outside the parable itself. For Jesus, the question is not how we define who is our neighbor, but how we respond to those in need. In the parable, the story assumes that its hearers know that the priests, about the priests, Levites, and Samaritans. We know the Samaritans were descendants of mixed marriages who occupied the land following the conquest by the Assyrians in 722 BCE. And we know that in the days of Ezra and Nehemiah, the Samaritans opposed rebuilding Jerusalem and the temple. They built their own place of worship on Mount Gerizim. There is no doubt that Jesus was aware of the bitter tension between the Samaritans and the Jews. And it is against this backdrop of hatred that the parable is told. It's not the priest or the Levite who proved to be a neighbor, but the Samaritan. It is a shocking and almost incomprehensible turn in the story, shattering whatever thoughts those hearing the parable may have had about who are and who are not the people of God. Luke's message to the church in his day and the church in our day is this. As people of God, we are always to act in love and compassion. Love draws no boundaries and no borders and expects nothing in return. It is not enough to ask, who is my neighbor? Jesus compels us to ask the question, how may I be a neighbor to others? What am I to do? What are we to do? How might we apply the words of Jesus to our lives today, even in this very moment? Jesus asked the lawyer, which of the three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of robbers? He said, the one who showed him mercy. Jesus said to him, go and do likewise. We need not look very far or ponder the question for any length of time, especially given what is happening today across the country. Our faith, rooted in the Bible, reminds us, thus says the Lord, when the alien resides with you in your land, you shall not oppress the alien. The alien who resides with you shall be to you as the citizen among you. You shall love the alien as yourself, for you were once aliens in the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. Give the members of your community a fair hearing and judge rightly between one person and another, whether citizen or resident alien. We know that these admonitions are foundational to our faith. But again, knowing is not enough. Jesus asked the question, who do you think was a neighbor? The one who showed mercy. And so, we must go and do likewise.
Thank you, Howard. And here, if you are able, please stand. This is our closing hymn. And in our new century, you know, hymn number 461. Let us go when hope is hopeless.
Thank you. Imawaku kaloku maikai, o kahaku iesu Kristo, me ke loko ke akua, me kolmana tuana